The state of higher education is tumultuous. Not a single week goes by without some story of political activism, unjust cancellation, campus protest, etc. hitting the news. Our universities really don't have to be like this. Rolston College aims to reshape this landscape. Alongside its MA in the humanities, Rolston is launching a summer school teaching Latin in Sicily, Rome, and other sites. The program, running from July to September, offers immersive language learning with experts, literary reading, seminars, and even archaeological visits. Most importantly, this course is designed for people who have never studied Latin. Anyone in the world can apply, and the strongest applicants will be awarded full scholarships that cover the cost of the entire program. Apply by the 31st of May at rolston.ac/latin-program.
Now we are here doing the podcast. Everybody does when they get cancelled.
You've been cancelled twice by somebody that we don't usually see people get cancelled by, which is the Chinese Communist Party.
In Chinese social media, you get a lot of these. Over here, you call them social justice warriors. That is their flavour. They're very jingoistic, nationalist types of people. Say, oh, have you seen Uncle Roger work with this guy? Then someone on Twitter, now it's the Western world, wow. Say, oh, have you seen Uncle Roger apologising and kowtowing to the CCP? I was like, oh shit. I read the statement back. I was like, oh yeah, okay, it does sound like I yeah. What I know is I probably won't be able to go to China or Hong Kong in the indefinite future.
Everyone now online has to be political. You mm-hmm. talk about food,
yeah.
You now have to be political. It's insane.
I basically stepped on a landmine.
Hello and welcome to Trigonometry. I'm Francis Foster.
I'm Constantine Kissen.
And this is a show for you if you want honest conversations with fascinating people.
Our terrific guest today is a friend of ours from our old comedy circuit days who is now absolutely crushing it on YouTube. He's got nearly 8 million subscribers. Uncle Roger, Nigel Long, is
Hello.
Who you are. Welcome to Trigonometry.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to see you guys.
Man. It's good to see you, man.
So many years on the comedy circuit. You know,
grinding away.
Now we are here doing the podcast. Everybody does when they get cancelled. This is the first podcast you get asked on.
Well, I didn't say that in your intro, but you've been cancelled by China twice now.
We'll
get onto that in a second. But before we do, for people who don't know you, welcome to the podcast for the cancelled. Before we talk about that part of it, what's your story through life? Because we know you well, but we actually probably don't know your backstory. Where are you from? How did you get here? How do you find yourself talking to us?
Well, I was born and raised in Malaysia. And then in 2010, I left Malaysia to the US for my university. That's when I started doing stand-up. In 2015, I moved to the UK from Chicago to London because I was dating a woman who was from Germany, European woman. We're not together anymore, but then I moved here with her, continued doing the stand-up. 2019, I went full-time stand-up. I always had a day job throughout the whole time. Started doing stand-up in 2011, university, had a day job, did stand-up part-time, 4 or 5 nights a week. 2019, September, kind of had enough fees for me to go full-time and support myself. I went full-time. 6 months later, COVID hit, lost all the work. I was like, fuck, can we curse on this?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, fuck, okay, I lost all my work. I have 10 months worth of savings to live, basically. So let's try to make something work online. At the time, I had a podcast and I also started doing YouTube. So, and that's where my character really took off. My character is called Uncle Roger. Basically, I play this middle-aged Asian uncle inspired by all these Asian boomers I see from my childhood, you know, who talk a lot of shit. sassy attitude, but ultimately they're kind people. So I play this character online critiquing Western celebrity chefs fucking up Asian food. So the very, very first video that went viral was the BBC food egg fried rice video.
Drain it.
What's she doing? What's she doing? Drain the... Oh my God! You're killing me, woman! Hiya! Drain the...
I just... put on this orange polo, started talking shit. And then when I posted that video, I was at 7,000 subscribers. That was June 2020, 7,000 subscribers. And then the first week in, the video got 10,000 views. I was like, oh shit, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you know, patting myself on the back. But later, Reddit picked it up, 9gag picked it up, Facebook, Twitter, it all went viral on every platform, TikTok, everywhere. And so I just kept making the videos, went on a full world tour doing my stand-up as both my character and then as myself, which is a great way to do it because you save money on your opening act. That's not cheap, man. Like £500 per gig, extra money. And then yeah, just now we're here. So I just kept making the videos, kept doing stand-up. Now I have things I'm developing with other production companies, looking to move to LA for work in a couple months. So, yeah.
It's exciting stuff, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I remember we did the same gig above a pub.
Yeah. Yes.
With you above a pub, with yeah. you below a pub.
You used to do my gig below a pub. And you, yes. for people who wouldn't have seen your stand-up, you were always one of the people that I think everybody on the circuit like rated as really good at stand-up.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, when you're good at stand-up, it's kind of hard to get ahead if you're actually, like, if they're too funny, you know what I mean? Yeah, we don't have to get into that.
I have no idea what he's talking about. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm too funny, but I think sometimes, especially in the British comedy scene, you have a very theatrical culture.
Yep.
So uh-huh. when you bring a show up to the festival here, Edinburgh Fringe, people want like a theatrical structure to your show. So people who just focus on, like, I just want to be funny, that doesn't work that well. But what helps us is because we do online stuff, funny actually goes viral. The theatrical artsy shit, harder to go viral. So I'm happy I found this little path for myself.
And you did find this little path for yourself. And how has your life changed, Nigel, from when we knew you to how you are now?
Whew, how's my life changed? I use Adobe Premiere Pro too much. You know, that app just drives me crazy, man. honestly, like, it's just such a relief. You know, because you're just hustling and grinding in anonymity on the circuit.
Yeah.
I'm just every day coming from a gig, 11 p.m. to midnight, and just walking home. Have to go to my day job the next day. I wake up at 7, and I'm like, will I ever be able to do this full time? You never know, you know. Yeah. But now the fact that, you know, I did a world tour. It's like 100-something shows over 50-something cities. And then all the shows were sold out. And you see people, real-life people coming to support you. You're like, oh, okay. Whew, kind of made it. It's good. It's a good feeling. So I think that's career-wise, that's the biggest change, to have that bit of comfort and confidence that shit will work out, you know? It's good.
Yeah. It's so awesome, man. And the when you said relief, that is exactly the feeling that I have as well. And before we started, you were talking about how you may not do stand-up going forward, which I can totally see, because it's a hard life too, isn't it?
It's hard. It's really hard to write a good show. It's really difficult. Yeah. Like, the show I did on my tour was the culmination of like 10 years of my stand-up, and then you pick the best off. And then I see how much I've workshopped those bits because I had nothing else going on for me. So I could just focus on the stand-up. Yeah. And then the relief thing too. I think that's an immigrant mentality thing too, you know? Yeah. It's gonna go away.
Yeah, but you want to make it, right? You want to get to where you think you want to get to.
Now, I think if I could do my whole life again, I would like to have rich parents. That's, if you could change
that's the
it
worst.
All.
I had rich parents for a while. You don't want that, man.
Really?
No.
That safety, isn't it nice? Yeah.
The thing is, you get too comfortable and then you don't want to do anything. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay. No. So I want rich parents who will still beat me once in a while.
Exactly.
That's the best of
rich
worlds.
Asian parents.
Yes.
You know, you're going to have a comfortable life, but you better get an A in maths.
Yes. Exactly. I'm going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Be rich, give my kids a good life.
Mate, you're crushing so hard, you could afford to pay a random couple a load of money to be your rich parents now.
Oh, that is a good idea.
Or someone when you have kids to beat your kids.
Hire a nanny.
Beater. Professional kid beater.
Yeah.
That'll be good. That'll be good. Yeah. Do they have people like that here in the UK?
No? Probably. I mean, what we're discussing is now illegal. But anyway.
Yes.
But what you're talking about is really interesting because of that relief thing. Because we know so many people on the comedy circuit who are legitimately brilliant. And they're great and they crush every gig and the material is interesting and people love them. But that's all they've got. And the fact that we made it out is something that I will always be eternally grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever think to yourself, like, imagine if I didn't film that video that day? Or imagine if you didn't meet each other and sit down and do this podcast.
Yeah.
Or, you started this podcast with someone else, I remember.
No, it was not this podcast.
It's not this podcast.
She likes to think it was, but it wasn't.
We know the guy. Do your listeners know this story?
Probably. Yeah. We've had him on the show and it's all good, but it wasn't this podcast. Yeah. They were doing a different podcast.
Yeah. I see. But yes, I just think back, like imagine if I didn't have the balls to, because you put out something like this. I have the fear when I was putting it out, oh, what will my comedy peers think of me?
Exactly.
You know, yeah. I'm playing this stupid character, I'm putting on a costume, and then people are going to think, oh, he's just a social media comic. And they all do think that, but it's like, it's okay. I like this life.
8 million subscribers, motherfuckers.
It's nice to go on nice holidays once in a while and splurge on nice things for myself. You know?
No, man, it's great. And you know, one of the things that I always... when we were on the comedy circuit, you know, it's a very bitchy and kind of hyper-competitive environment. But when you meet people who are successful, or when we used to, usually they were the nicest people. Not always, but usually they were the nicest people. And what I realize now is I meet people who've done what you've done, and us to a lesser extent, is like, it's a lot easier to not be in that desperation mindset of like, oh, that person's got something and I didn't... It's a lot easier when you're actually doing well.
Yeah.
You know?
In the comedy industry too, they make it feel like a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
You know? There's only 8 spots on Mock the Week, 8 spots on Live at the Apollo, and 4 of them will go to famous TV, famous people.
Yes.
And then there's 4, one for each race. And then you're like, shit, that's 1 spot for me. They're never going to put 2 Asian people on Apollo at the same time, or Mock the Week at the
same
time.
In case people get confused, right?
Yeah. Oh, Phil Wang.
Why is he back on again?
And they create this weird zero-sum thing, but then the reality is the world and the internet is infinite, almost. It's 7 billion people, 8 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of Asians. I bitch about Asian food mostly. I see how many Asians there are. Every city I go to, Helsinki, there's the Asian guy. Half the crowd is Asian. I'm like, where, how? Why would you move here to this weird place from Vietnam, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. It is, but... And I think that's... we're kind of conditioned when we're on the comedy circuit to think like that. And what it happened is it created an atmosphere where you just saw people, like you went into the open mic and there was a kind of... At the start, this almost kind of brotherhood mentality, you know, where guys doing comedy together and it's, you know, we're all friends and it's going to be great. And very quickly, things start to go really not very, you know, you see people, there's a group who go nuts.
Yep. By nuts, you mean that they'll pull ahead of you career-wise?
No, I mean, they go literally nuts. We all know the comedians who go insane with doing it, you know, and they quite literally lose their minds. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other people, you know, and then there's the bitchiness.
Yeah.
You're looking back at it and you go, that wasn't a good place to exist in.
It wasn't. It was not good for your mental health. It's not good for your wallet either.
No.
You know,
no.
It was good for your wallet, but bad for your mental health. I'll still do it. But nowadays, I have to say, when I see a comedy show, especially a UK one, and then I see a white guy, like I see a white guy on Life at the Apollo, I'm like, fucking, like, this must be good. He's fought through so many hurdles to get the one spot. The white guy, he must be fucking good.
This guy really worked for it.
Yeah. And that's a topic for another day too, but I do appreciate this, they're making it more diverse, but sometimes I do feel I'm put on just to fulfill a quota. And then I know when I'm on, a lot of people viewing at home will think, oh, he's on just for a quota, but then that kind of diminishes my thing. I work really hard, you know, on the comedy circuit, but that kind of diminishes it. But I'm sure you guys have covered that.
Not with someone like you, actually. We haven't. I mean, because coming from us, it sounds like, you know, white guys whining.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Whereas when you say it, it gives it legitimacy. Tell us more, Nigel.
Oh, well, now it's an Asian guy whining. So, like, well, it is true that if I see a white guy in the Apollo, I'm like, this guy is fucking good, you know? But then when you see someone like me on the Apollo, a lot of people will think that's a hurdle to cross first. They're going to think, oh, is he just a diversity hire?
Yeah.
Then they see that I'm funny. Then, oh, okay, he's actually good. So, and it's not just on TV shows. When I do like random gigs and out of the middle of nowhere, when I get on stage, I send some people saying, okay, is this one of those diversity things again? So... I win them over because, you know, I've been doing this a while, but it would be nice if people, if we just it was more of an equal playing field. Funny gets
where it, people didn't bother about your skin color. They were just like, you're funny or you're not funny.
Yeah.
That's kind of the dream.
Yeah,
isn't it?
But that's what the internet is, right?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see something funny on TikTok, you share.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That is nice that we have such a thing like that.
It is. This,
imagine if you started doing stand up in early 2000s where there was no TikTok, no YouTube.
Yeah,
that would be rougher.
You know? Much, much harder.
And also as well, there's the people at the top who are gatekeepers who come from a certain strata of society. Mm. So they pick things, they pick people or acts that they like, which is fair enough. But you go, well, but you're just excluding all these other people. Do you know what I mean? So if they want an Asian guy, they're going to get an Asian public school guy. If they want a white guy, they're going to get a white public school guy.
Yeah, fine. I feel like you're really like talking shit about Phil Wang now. No, we love you, Phil. we are friends outside of this. We love you, Phil. But I can agree with the point. You're going to pick people you like, right? Because that's what you have to go off of. And I always felt like my vibe wasn't right for UK TV, and that's not like a racism thing or anything. Yeah. It's like UK TV like is a little bantery and softer. I just go very hard insults,
right.
That kind of thing. So the internet works better for me.
And also, same for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And also as well, it's because we kind of like our comedians to be victims here of going, I'm so sad. I'm so fat. I can't get girls. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're abusing three backstage. But anyway.
Francis has been saving up for this conversation, mate.
Have you had Philip Schofield
on? The comedians harassing women thing. What else do you need to get off your chest?
I'm going to get it all off my chest.
Chip on your shoulder,
who
Francis.
Who didn't give you a gig in Cuntingdon on Sea, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Off the curb. No.
Just slagging off everyone. Look, Nigel, let's focus on you rather than on Francis's trauma from the comedy circuit days. So one of the things is you're very different to the type of people that we normally have on the show, because very often we're talking about quite serious things. People got canceled for saying the wrong thing, blah, blah, blah. You've been canceled twice by somebody that we don't usually see people get canceled by, which is the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah. So I think in total, I've gotten canceled like four times. Yeah, but China is the most, the biggest ones, have to do with China, the two biggest ones. The two other ones is one, I tweeted, you know, when Russia invaded Ukraine that same day, I was like, adding extra show in Kiev, guys, link in bio, so, and then got some articles, you know. Yeah. Not the best joke, but it did inspire like a nice little bit that I do on stage, and that got quite a few views. And then the other small cancellation was I was touring Singapore and talk shit about their food. And Asians, we take our food very seriously.
Right.
But ended up selling out the second show in Singapore. So that was good. But yeah, we are here to talk about like the two big ones, right? So for a bit of context, because I grew up in Malaysia, I went to a Mandarin-speaking secondary school. So I'm Chinese-Malaysian. My great-grandparents were from China. So I bring that up because in Malaysia, a lot of us, we have like those distant ties to China. My great-grandparents were from there. So we have a little bit of an affinity. We still think of it as like, oh, that's a cool place. We consume Chinese media and we speak the language. We have like friends from there. We like to visit there. We have a bit more of an affinity compared to the Western world. So that's a bit of a context from how I grew up and where I come from. So the first Chinese cancellation. That was January 2021. So at this point, I was only maybe 5 months into Uncle Roger and like just started to, oh shit, people are paying attention to me, just started being known. So I didn't know what I was doing. So I collabed with this guy. His name is Mike Chen. He runs a YouTube channel called Strictly Dumpling. And then you go to his channel, it's just food vlogs. So I thought, oh yeah, it's just a food vlogger, cool. So we reviewed this video together where over Zoom, we are both reviewing, I think it was Epicurious or some food network making a chef making dumplings and doing a horrific job about that, you know? So we were just roasting the food, whatever, edited a video, posted it. I remember I posted it and then I had to go back to Malaysia to visit family because Malaysia just started allowing foreign residents in. Land in Malaysia, you have to quarantine for a week inside a hotel room by yourself. It's very normal procedure at the time. You get a negative test, quarantine a hotel room for a week. And then I remember just unpacking the hotel room, sleeping, waking up. And then I got a message from the people who manage my Chinese social media. I just started Weibo and Bilibili at the time. Weibo is Chinese Twitter-like platform. And Bilibili is Chinese YouTube. So I just started those platforms, paid a bit of money up front for them to start it, and then I got a message from them saying, my Chinese social media agent saying, hey Nigel, your video, your account's getting reported, because apparently that Mike Chen guy from Strictly Dumpling is one, very, very anti-CCP publicly on his social media, and two, he's also part of this organization called Falun Gong. Are you familiar?
We are.
You are, but I guess
but tell our audience a little bit more. Tell our audience a little bit more about Falun Gong.
Yeah, it's... I have to be careful with my words here. I don't want to get sued, you know? So...
Yeah, be careful because we could get sued as well. So extra careful.
I hope you have liability insurance.
Yeah.
So it's an organization. A lot of people think it's a cult, but if you ask someone from Falun Gong, they'll just say... they are an organization, a spiritual organization that practices the three universal truths of honesty, forbearance, and compassion, you know, whatever that means, right? But a lot of people online think it's a cult, right? And it's a cult that's very, very... Let's think of it as Chinese Scientology. Mm-hmm. But apparently some shit happened when they were in China. The founder of that, of Falun Gong, fled China. And... nobody really knows what happens. I just know some shit has gone down. And all this stuff is impossible to research online, especially on Western internet. And it's just impossible to find. You'll find resources from Falun Gong affiliated organizations saying, oh, we're just organized. We just do Tai Chi in the park every day. You know, why are you persecuting us? And then you see on the China side, it's like, no, they did a lot of crazy shit back then. So do your own research. I'm not going to say anything that would incriminate me. So basically, if you're seen in China, if you're seen working with someone from this organization, that's an automatic ban. You'll be like persona non grata. Mm-hmm. You can't even enter the country. So that's why my accounts were getting reported, because people think in Chinese social media, you get a lot of these, over here, you call them social justice warriors. That is their flavor. They're very jingoistic, nationalist types of people say, oh, have you seen Uncle Roger work with this guy? And then they would just, they have these nationalist pages. They would have their fans report you, kind of doxing you, you know? So that's how my accounts got, was about to get suspended. And I was like, oh shit, what do you do? I have no clue. I was new to this whole social media thing, right? So I asked my Chinese social media agents who were, all of them were Chinese people based in China. So they said, oh yeah, well, when something like this happens, usually we just issue a statement and then and take down the video, that should go away. And then I was like, oh, okay. I had no clue, right? So I said, just handle it. So they wrote me a statement. I read it. I was like, oh, yeah, it feels like, you know, copy and paste boilerplate a statement. Yeah, that's just fine. Just post it. But then I posted a statement. Then someone on Twitter, now it's the Western world, wow, say, oh, have you seen Uncle Roger apologizing and kowtowing to the CCP? I was like, oh, shit. I read the statement back. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, it does sound like I yeah. In hindsight, if I were to do things differently, I would have probably like be more involved in that process and be like, no, let's not post this, because it does read like I am apologizing, which I'm not. I just, you know, I bring up the Malaysia affinity to China stuff because, you know, a lot of Malaysians have Chinese socials. So it's a normal thing to have Weibo and Bilibili. You know, it's not just a money grabbing thing. Oh. So to me, it's like, okay, maybe different social medias have different rules. I had no clue, right? So I just, if I could do it all over again, I would just be more, I'll look at a statement more closely.
Yeah.
And see what
it's a weird thing now in the world. Sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. We'll get your second cancellation in a second, but it's like...
Fourth, mate.
Fourth, well, yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I instinctively think that generally speaking, if you don't feel you've done anything wrong, uh-huh, you shouldn't apologize. But on the other hand, when you're new to it, you're just taking off, you're trying to manage the fallout from something you didn't even know about and didn't intend.
Well, my Mandarin is also a bit rusty now. And to me, that letter didn't read like an apology. It just read, oh, I think if you translated it verbatim, and feel free to post the statement, I don't really mind. Uncle Roger, I didn't know that Mike Chen had these views towards towards China. So I hope you guys can give me a chance, because I'm new to these Chinese socials. I hope you guys will give Uncle Roger a chance give me a chance and let me continue entertaining you. That kind of thing. So it didn't read like an apology. And also in China, people, the Chinese audiences, they're also like us, normal people. They don't care. They just want something funny to watch, you know. So they also know, oh yeah, it's just boilerplate, copy and paste. It's Nigel's management team posting it. But in the West, people just take it at face value, you know? So it reads like an apology, so
And what does that feel like? Because you're not somebody who's overtly political.
No. Yeah, we're talking about dumplings. And all of a sudden I have this. And when it happened, I didn't even know why I was canceled. I was like, I was researching my cancellation in real time. And that's how I learned about all this Falun Gong, all this stuff. And this it's such an incendiary thing. And what did it feel like? So if you just so we all remember, I was stuck in a hotel room by myself for 7 days. I was in day two. And my only access to the outside world was the internet.
Wow.
And because it was such an incendiary thing, and there are bots all over the world, they would just constantly send you messages. And you know they're bots because it's different usernames, but they tweet the same exact message at you. Like they'll call me a CCP apologist, Uyghur genocide denier, I'm pro human rights abuse, I'm pro the Tiananmen massacre, all those things. Bootlicker, CCP bootlicker constantly. Every 2-3 seconds, I had a new comment like that on my Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. So it was just a constant onslaught. I remember, and Reddit as well. It just became.
Did you think you were going to lose everything?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you did.
Because again, I was stuck in the hotel room. If I could go out and see, I was in Malaysia too, so I'm probably quite well known. I am quite well known back there. So if I had the chance to leave that hotel room and nobody gave a shit. You're like, oh, I love your work, Uncle Roger. Maybe at that moment, maybe some people would have just been quietly ignoring me, but I would have noticed, right? I just think they didn't know who I was. But yeah, if in that moment, yeah, I remember like first cancellation, right? First big cancellation. Yeah. And I just got successful for 4 months.
Yeah. So
this is like,
I worked so hard, 10 years of my life working towards this. I just started being successful. Oh shit, is this all gonna go away? And people are tweeting at me, oh, his career started with a fried rice video, ended with a dumpling. You know, people are just brutal, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I did think I was gonna lose it all.
It's interesting. The reason I ask you is we had a moment when we had only about like 100,000 subscribers, and a bunch of people came in and they started spamming our channel with a bunch of stuff, downvoting our videos, whatever. And we definitely, in that moment, were like, whoa, this, like, you know how you're like, you're just moving up and everything's great? And then suddenly it's like, whoa, you know? So that's a terrifying feeling.
Yeah, they don't prepare you for this. I remember I was crying a lot too. And well, because again, I'm stuck in the hotel room by myself. And my mom, bless her, she follows my career very closely. Every time there's a news article, she would send it to me. Oh, look at you, Nigel. This newspaper in Malaysia is reporting about you. Good job. So the flip side is, every news article that says, oh, Uncle Roger turns apparently is a pro-CCP apologist. And she would send me the article too. So I was like, Mom, please. I know you're showing concern, but this is not good for me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was rough. And the bot thing too, when we get to the second cancellation thing, like there's the bots apply to both parties. Anything to do with China, if you're pro-China, the bots will come at you. If you're perceived as anti-China, the bots will come at you as well. And another thing too that people don't say, that people don't warn you, you have to prepare yourself for getting hacked. Once you touch that topic, we'll plug my special later, but I'm hosting my special on this website called moment.co. And I just got canceled on, I think the news article broke on BBC, NBC on Monday. So 6 days ago. My Moment account got hacked. So Moment is a platform where you can put on something and then everybody can buy a ticket. It's a pay-per-view platform.
Yeah.
You put on your content, people buy a ticket, they can view it together with you when it premieres. So yesterday night, my Moment account got hacked. It's all good now. But then because I went onto the page and they were just like lewd photos and spammy links all coming from my account. And wow. I was like, whoa, I didn't do this. So, and this is something that I work with a lawyer who's been on the side of, let's just say, I don't want to reveal too much, but let's just say he works on a thing that China doesn't like that he's working on. So he told me, he just warned me, just, okay, I've been through this, and he's also lived in China, so he knows like what it's like. He said, "Yeah, be prepared, set up two-factor authentication and everything. things are going to get hacked. And yeah, I do have my other platforms. I get text messages saying, oh, did you try to sign into your Instagram account? Here's a confirmation code, that kind of thing. So Instagram and Moment.co, my Moment account definitely got hacked. And then my other socials, hopefully they're still okay. It's okay so far.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
You know, with our journey, we are overtly political with what we do. We talk about politics. We comment on politics. We make jokes about politics or videos. But everyone now online has to be political. You talk about food.
Yeah.
You now have to be political. It's insane.
I basically stepped on a landmine. You know, the fact that, to me, that video was not political, right? Mm. But the fact that, and I didn't even post it on Chinese socials. But somebody from Chinese social screenshotted me on YouTube working with this Mike Chen guy and then posted on Weibo and Bilibili. And I said, look at this, Uncle Roger's working with a known cultist. And then that made it political. So at that point, it was lose-lose either way. If I kept the video up, I would have nuked my Chinese socials. If I took the video down, the Western world would have hated me. You know? So
who'd you pick?
Well, at that time, I was like, oh, I just started a Chinese. I didn't know it was going to be such a big deal. That was my naivete, I own that mistake now, definitely. So, yeah, I picked taking a video down because I was like, well, my Chinese fans seem cool. They like me. Let's just keep it going.
Yeah.
And that became very political. And then when I took the video down and the Western world started hating on me, Mike Chen, this pissed me off a little bit, you know, because... Sure, I did have to unfollow him on my Chinese social media agent's orders. And I think he should know what is going on. But then he just went on all this because he's part of the Falun Gong. And this is a known fact. He promotes it on his channel that he's part of this Falun Gong. Falun Gong also does Shen Yun. So most people, they will know Shen Yun, that show, the Chinese on a tube advert. You see a lot of tube adverts on the show. So that's affiliated with the Falun Gong. So right when the Western world started hating me, Mike Chen started doing his whole rounds of podcasts because the Falun Gong own a lot of YouTube channels. You know, the Epoch Times is a Falun Gong
newspaper. That's how I know about it because I've done a couple of shows on their platform and we know someone there who's actually not Chinese.
Yeah.
Who I think is part of it.
Yeah, it's not. It's the Falun Gong's Western arm. Yeah. And then they also have the New Tang Dynasty, which is a YouTube channel, and a few other channels. I think China Uncensored on YouTube is also part of their organization. And a lot of people say, it's not me, a lot of people are saying that Mike Chen is pretty high up in that Falun Gong organization. So he has friends in all these channels and he was doing just the podcast rounds. Like, you know, doing the Rogan circuit.
Yeah. Was he slagging you off? Was that what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
He threw you under the bus a little bit.
Yeah, threw me under the bus. So that was why I was a little bit, oh, come on, dude. I'm new to this world. I'm operating off the back foot here. I don't even know why I got canceled. I'm researching everything. And he threw me under the bus. So now people say... We'll get to the second cancellation, but people ask, like, now that China hates you, are you going to put on that old dumping video up? So I was like, nah, because it just doesn't feel great being a pawn in this war between the CCP's propaganda and then the Falun Gong's propaganda. So yeah, it just left a shitty taste in my mouth, is this whole thing.
Yeah.
Of course, but what was great about that and was really heartening to see is that you transcended that. You moved on. Mm-hmm. You are crushing it. You know, the socials were exploding. Mm-hmm. You were doing brilliantly.
Thank you.
And you still are. And you still are. And then last week I went on Twitter. I went, oh, Nigel's videos popped up on my feed. That's unusual. What's going on with... And then something else happened.
Yep. So fast forward 2 years later. I have to say, your first cancellation is like losing your virginity.
Exactly.
You know, it's memorable, but for all the wrong reasons. I wish it lasted
you
as long as
you didn't know what you were doing, you know, all that.
But it lasts a lot longer. You know, a cancellation now. I think it lasts around like 2 weeks where you kept getting messages. Pro tip for you guys, you probably run into this soon. When you get J.K. Rowling on this podcast, set up comment filters, like keyword filters for your comments on all your socials, because you'll get people, bots copy and pasting the same thing. So that's how you filter them out. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys should get Joanne on, man.
Yeah,
Joanne Rowling.
She should come on.
Who else will interview her? This is the podcast to be.
J.K. Rowling, we know you're listening.
Joanne,
Uncle Roger spoken. But anyway, so fast forward 2 years later, you recover from the initial cancellation, right? Because the thing that people don't tell you about getting canceled, at least in that way, is if you just let it go and let it pass, it's actually fine 2 weeks later.
Yes. But there's a caveat, though. I think to us, it is like that. But to someone who has, who's in regular employment, maybe a little trickier for them. So we do have a little bit of a privilege there. Absolutely. But yes, you just have to keep trucking on, keep hustling. I did lose a few sponsors. I did lose quite a bit of money with throughout the whole thing. But eventually, the sponsors come back. And yeah, lose a bit of money. It's fine. Just put away, save. When you're an entertainer, you should put away some stuff because you know shit's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
So fast forward 2 years later, I finished my tour. So I'm about to release my special, dropping June 4th. Click link in description. I'm about to release my special. So to release it, because it's a pay-per-view, you want to drum up some sales, right? So you want to put out some small clips as a marketing. So one of the clips I chose, you know, when you put out a clip that works well for marketing is a clip that will go viral. Because the more people see it, the more people buy it, obviously, right? So I was like, okay, what clip's going to go viral? So because I've been through the cancellation, I know that this China stuff, my instinct tells me this bit will ruffle some feathers. So feel free to put that bit in. Where are you from? Are you from Boston?
Originally from Guangzhou.
Guangzhou, China.
Yeah.
China, okay. China, good country. Good country. Good country. Good country. Woo! We have to say that now, correct? Oh, their phone listening. Oh, their phone listening. This nephew got Huawei phone. They all listening. You use ExpressVPN? Yeah. Free. Don't let your government hear that, please. Or our phone tap into it. Long live presidency. Long live presidency. Uncle Roger, social credit score going up. Nice. From China. Okay, anyone, any niece and nephew from Taiwan? Not a real country. Not a real country. I hope one day you rejoin the motherland. One China. No, don't clap too hard. This is not a political show. No, don't clap. Uncle Roger gonna get canceled after tonight. I basically kind of mocked both sides. You know, I think as a good comic, you need to play both sides and get both sides pissed off at you. Otherwise, you feel more like a politician if you just very pro or leaning against one side, right? So in that bit, I pulled off making fun of both China and Taiwan at the same time. And again, these are all jokes. You know, I come to my show, there's maybe like just that joke kind of touches on a political nerve, somewhat lightly. But the things I say is like, oh, Huawei phone, are they all listening? Ha ha ha. Like, that's the kind of things we all say, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Chinese, they're all listening. Oh, anyone from Taiwan? Oh, not a real country. That's kind of jokes
That's like the standard in a comedy club. You find out where someone's from, you make fun of their country, move on to the next person. That's what you do.
It's not even that big a deal. It's just maybe I know more about this because of my cancellation. So I was quick and off the cuff. And a little bit of a spoiler here. I've done the joke many times. You know, it looks like I just, you know, improvise. Oh, you're from China? Oh, No, a lot of my shows, I have people from China coming to my shows. And I have to say, I sold like close to 100,000 tickets for the tour. Bit worked everywhere, you know. I did have to cancel Taiwan, but that wasn't because of that bit. That was because the COVID restrictions were still there. So it worked everywhere. I know it's a good bit. I know it's funny. And I know it also will ruffle some feathers. It's a little bit slightly controversial. And it's just fun. So I know that was going to do well. I didn't know I was going to do this well, you know, appearing on BBC and everything. So I posted that. And then, again, the same thing happened. I didn't post it on Chinese socials because, on Chinese socials, you can't really mention the president by name. That is just a no-no. And why go through the trouble? I have a feeling they're going to be pissed off at this. And I was right. But I didn't post it on any Chinese socials. Somebody, again, some nationalist Weibo person, screenshotted that and then posted it on their accounts, and then my account got reported and suspended this time. So now,
even though you didn't post it,
I didn't post it.
So they haven't banned you for breaking the rules of Weibo. They've banned you for having what they think is the wrong opinion, even though it's just a joke. essentially?
Initially, I got banned because of the reports from other people, but my Chinese social media team, my current one, has recently informed me that ban also is not just a social media platform ban, it also came from higher up. For Weibo. Okay. Whatever that means, I don't know what that means. What I know is I probably won't be able to go to China or Hong Kong in the indefinite future, which is, you know, it's the price I have to pay. I can still go to Taiwan, hopefully, before China like nukes them. I should go before
China. I can see why you got cancelled by China, mate. So you have that video. We'll include it in this if it's okay with you. And then your Chinese social media accounts get nuked.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I think all four of them got nuked.
Right.
Yeah, I'm on four Chinese socials now. So, and then I've learned from last time, right? I know if I make any sort of statement trying to like say, oh, on Chinese socials, just saying that, oh, it's just a joke, guys. And by the way, the Chinese fans on my socials and they all know it's just a joke. It's like they all enjoy it. It's just this very tiny. It's kind of like the Western world too, right? These social justice jingoistic warriors. They're like, oh, I can't believe he humiliated China. There's a term in Mandarin currently. It's a very trendy term called ruhua, and it translates to humiliate China. And then there's a joke in the Taiwanese like the anti China country circles that go like, humiliating China is a thing everybody goes through because they are so sensitive. Mm. That kind of thing. So there are three things in life that you will do. You are born, you humiliate China, and you die. That's the joke. So I just learned about all of this. And it is true, there's a very vocal, very sensitive people who will report everything. And coincidentally, when I was cancelled, the day before, there was a Chinese comedian. His name is Li Haoshi. He made a joke. I listened to that joke. He just said, "Oh, I saw a few dogs, and they were like just really really energetic, and I really want him to protect my house because those dogs reminded me of." And then he said the Chinese military catchphrase. I forgot the catchphrase, but he basically used that catchphrase in that bit, and the bit got an applause break. I listened to that actual bit, so everybody in the comedy club found it funny. But apparently, somebody recorded illegal footage of just audio, posted it. He might face 3 months in jail. His management company is fined £1.5 million pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So it is fortunate that, you know, I'm not, my nationality is not Chinese. You know, my ethnicity, yes, you know, Chinese, but that's always tricky. Isn't it nice to be white sometimes? You know what I mean? I have like some, like we have ties to China. My family has distant ties to China. So I was like, oh yeah, let's start this Chinese social media. So now look where I ended up, you know, just it's all this headache. And sometimes I also feel that not having Chinese socials is also long-term, it's also more freeing for your comedy, man, because there's so many things that you don't even know will be construed as offensive in China. For example, I reviewed this video. I think it was a Jamie Oliver video making, he was making some sort of fried fish and he wrapped the fish in banana leaf, right? So I was like, oh, the banana leaf doesn't look fresh, but it's okay because he probably imported that banana leaf all the way from Malaysia to the UK. So in that, I had an animation of a banana leaf on a world map just flying from, my editor made this animation from flying from Malaysia all the way to the UK. But that world map that he downloaded had the word Taiwan on it. Yeah. And then my Chinese social media person's like, you can't post this video. You have to take this scene out. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen. And I was like, okay, well, he spent so much time making this animation. Can we just keep that scene in? Keep the scene in for the YouTube version and we do it something differently for the Chinese socials? And she was like, no, you can't. Because again, they're going to screenshot that and post it on Weibo and Bilibili. So this kind of thing, it's like, I like my Chinese fans, you know, and they like me too, but there's just so much shit that you don't even think is offensive that will be misconstrued as offensive that will get me nuked. Anyway, so,
Nigel, were you ever under pressure as well from your agents not to put that clip out, or when you put that clip out to apologize because they're going, hang on a second here, you're going to lose this entire market, it's huge. Uncle Roger could be absolutely massive over there. Just play the game, etc.
I have credit to my agent. He was very supportive. He leaves all the creative decisions to me, you know. So He didn't come and say, oh, no, don't put that, think of the Chinese market. My Chinese social media team do think that, obviously, right? That's their job. If they post something that will knowingly get me nuked on China, they'll get fired. So yeah, I know where they're coming from, but my agent has been just very all good about it, you know? He knows what I'm doing. And also, I have lost all my Chinese socials, and yeah, sure, you lose a little bit of money, but you also win new fans, right? You also win fans who are like, oh shit, this Uncle Roger guy has balls. Fuck, respect, yeah. You know? So yeah, it's not a business calculation. I don't exactly know, where am I ahead or am I behind? Would I have made more money if I apologize? But it's like, as a comic, it just feels right to make fun of every side. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Yeah.
In our DNA, we still have that, I want to talk shit about everybody.
Yeah.
So if I put out a clip like that on my own terms, I knew what was going to happen, and I knew the clip was funny, I can stand behind it, I wouldn't apologize. That's just something I told myself.
It's a better way to live, man.
Yeah, it is a better way to live.
It's a better way to live.
Yeah, I probably won't be cast in any Disney film or any Marvel film, but it's not like I'm getting casted in there anyway. So. It's fine. Well, they're not trendy. A24 is a trendy now anyway. Cast me in that, you know?
You know, it does take integrity to know that although we make a joke about it, there is a very real chance, or there was a possibility, that you could have at least had an audition for something like that. Mm-hmm. That path could have been open to you. But by doing this, you know that you've closed that gate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
Franz just rubbing it in now.
So be it, right? You know, sometimes you have to say, yeah, my life is pretty comfortable. I make enough money. That's okay. If I don't have a yacht for the rest of my life, that's fine.
And more than that, I think you're right though, Nigel, in that I think actually what you'll probably find is long-term, this benefits your career rather than hindering it.
Maybe.
I think it will. I definitely think it will.
Because as a comic too, like you get on stage, someone says he's from China. Come on. Mm, yeah. Like, what are you going to say? Oh, China, okay, moving on. Like, come on, it's in the news. The Chinese spy balloon was in the, as a comic. Come on, like you'll be disingenuous if you don't mention something,
totally.
Right?
Totally.
And what are your opinions now? Because before you went into this, uh-huh. you must have had one opinion. No, let's not call it China, the CCP. But having dealt with them, having scrapes with them, what is your opinion now of it?
I'm not the most political guy.
Yep.
But I do think, yeah, they're a little sensitive to jokes, and they're cracking down on comedy. Like, I don't know, like this recently they've cracked down on comedy even more, and they've cracked down on like Western entertainment, like bans on there even more, because I was in this New York Times article. So I was reading, I was like, oh shit, it's not just happening to me and that other Chinese comedian. Like a lot of like Western bands or Japanese bands groups, they suddenly had to cancel appearances for no good reason. So I don't know. I never really thought about them, the CCP, that much. Now I just feel like my opinion is like, it would be really hard to not offend anybody on their platforms. And the thing is, on Western platforms, if you offend someone, it's still fine. They still let your platforms keep going, right? That's how, you know, you guys and Rogan got so big, because they just let it be. There's more leeway here. I'm not saying speech is completely free on Western media. It's probably not, but it's a lot freer than in China.
Well, this is why I always say that like cultures or countries or regimes or whatever where comedy is censored, like the moment you start see comedians being censored, you're like, this place is going in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that seems to be like what you're saying there as well. It's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it like that, but yeah, don't put words in my mouth, man. But
no, I wasn't saying about China specifically. I actually think in the West as well, like the reason I sometimes get annoyed by people being censored is that to me, that's a move towards that direction. Like growing up in the Soviet Union, I saw this. And so I'm kind of like, let's not move in that direction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But you also can't just post a video of you saying the N-word like 1,000 times, right?
I don't know. Have you tried?
I mean, that one, I can get it. Like, if someone says they are censored, and they say, what do you do? I just say the N-word 1,000 times, you know? Like in a Mr. Beast video, I say Logan Paul 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. I get it. That's Now I sound like I'm pro-censorship. Cut that part out. I didn't say
anything.
No, it's
all good.
But I do agree with you.
I'm not trying to put any words in your mouth at all. I'm genuinely curious. I was just saying the reason that I talk about restrictions on jokes and speech in general in the West is that I don't like that the West seems to me, at least, to be moving towards that. I'm not saying anything like that. Okay. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense to you. You don't have to agree.
Moving towards that? Maybe it is. I don't really pay attention to these things much. But I do listen to the trigonometry. And it has been an opinion that's echoed a lot on social media too. Yeah. So.
But you don't agree with it?
I haven't thought about it enough to agree.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think maybe because I haven't been personally affected that much until, but when I'm affected, it's from the Chinese side, right?
Yeah.
So but you also really did, it's a different point, not about censorship at all. But my sense isn't actually that it's just happening in the West or it's just social justice people. Like there's people who are like the opposite of social justice people. They get just as triggered by someone saying something they don't like either. Just think it's social media in general makes people feel like everyone should give a shit about their opinion. Do you see what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. And also the echo chamber doesn't help because any opinion you express, there'll be tons of people agreeing with you, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it's a very extreme view of things. But I like social media. TikTok's fun though, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's good.
Hey, look, and let's be fair, there's plenty to criticize, Nigel, with social media, and we can talk about it till, you know, the proverbial cows come home, as it were. But this wouldn't have happened without social media. Uncle Roger wouldn't have happened without social media. We all in this room have a lot to be grateful to social media for. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Tate wouldn't have happened without social media. That guy is so entertaining, right? Oh, you should have him on. Has he been on?
No, he hasn't been on.
That guy's the most entertaining guy, man.
Yeah, really? Why do you like him?
He's ridiculous. Don't take advice from him. I'm saying don't listen to him at all, but he's just like, when you text your girl, never text her in the morning. Text her at 11 p.m. or 1 a.m. and then she's like, baby, why aren't you asleep? And say, money doesn't sleep, baby. And then don't reply to her. It's like, fuck it, that's genius. That's so funny. He's like a cartoon version of how to pick up women.
Totally. You know?
And then the thing with Greta Thunberg. Yeah. You know, he got arrested because he was like mocking her. It's just, you can't write this shit, right? He's like a sitcom character.
It is like a sitcom character. I sometimes think about this. My girlfriend's made this point. She goes, look, social media is just the new soap opera. That's all it is. There's the characters, people fall out. Have you heard what he said about her and she said about him and all this? Da, 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 da. And this is really important. And you get out in the big wide world and no one cares.
Yeah.
Because it's a complete soap opera.
Exactly. You get the people on Reddit who care. I was just shopping around for a Japanese knife, right? It has to do with the story, trust me. And then I go there and then he brings out this beautiful knife. I said, oh, this one is 1,500-pound Japanese cleaver. And then he's like, yeah, you know, you should buy this, man. You should buy it. He knows who I am. He knows I do like food stuff. So you should buy this because everybody on Reddit loves this knife. This Japanese knife figure doesn't make knives anymore. He retired. So this is one of the last three knives in the world in circulation. Everybody on Reddit will love you. I'm like, I just want to chop some spring onions, mate. I don't care if Reddit will love my new fucking knife, 1,500 pounds for a knife. I can't do that. You won't even use it. You'd be like, too careful, too scared.
Yeah, that is true. So what does the future hold now for you, Nigel?
What's the future hold? Well, I hope the launch of my special will go well. We'll do a full plug at the end. And I think...
Fucking hell, man. We've plugged about four times already. Like,
wait, what? I'm releasing that. And
in fact, as people are watching this, it's already out.
Yeah, yep. It's already out today. And it will be online, available for purchase and viewing for two more weeks. After June 18th, it will be gone. By the way, the premiere date is June 4th. Uh-huh. And
today.
Today, which is unknowingly. I just picked that premiere date because I put out my videos on Sundays.
Yeah.
Right? And then I wanted to release it like soonish before summer. So I said, June 4th. Apparently, June 4th, 1989 is the day of the Tiananmen massacre. So I'm like, you can't do anything. Jesus Christ. You guys are reading too much into this. And then the people who are anti-CCP, they're like cheering for me. Yeah, Uncle Roger fucking so smart, bro. Look at this. He's putting it on June 4th. And then he knows what he's doing. I'm like, no, it was just a coincidence. And then in my video, I had a response video to the cancellation. Mm. Me and my character chopping spring onions, going like, hi, yeah, I got canceled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, I'm just talking shit. Go buy the special. I'm just doing some marketing for it. And then apparently, chopping spring onion also has a hidden metaphorical meaning in China of like the government ripping off the people, something like that. I think chopping chives is the term. And then people are like, yeah, go Uncle Roger. You know, he's an artist. He has so many hidden meanings in his videos.
We're going to say that, man. And then you're going to go and click on the photo of his special. It's just you doing this behind the American flag.
Brother, look, I think you should be honest about the fact that you love the Falun Gong. Just come out with it. You've put all the dates. You've been hinting with the chives, the chopping, the everything. Just stand by your beliefs, mate.
Yeah.
I'm pro-Falun Gong.
Hey, listen, Falun Gong, if you guys buy the special, I'll be a practitioner. I'll start downloading your meditation videos.
Tai Chi in the park.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to be one of those protesters. You'll see them in Chinatown and say, oh, China's harvesting our organs. That's the Falun Gong. So I'll join one of your marches, Falun Gong, if you buy the special. moment.co/Mr. Nigel Ng.
Nigel's the same as ever, just a pure businessman.
He is, man. He is.
Zero fucks given.
I like that. He's just all. I remember you when you're at the end of a gig and we're all there being these little comedians going, I hope someone likes me. And then Nigel was at the front watching the people going back handing out business cards.
Yes, I did that for a little bit. I was so. I wish QR codes were a thing back then.
Yeah.
You know, but they weren't. That was pre-COVID.
No, but you were always very driven. I remember we started. I think we started trigonometry. Well, we did. We started trigonometry before you started Uncle Roger. Depression and thought, and you were still looking for the thing that you were going to do, and you were always asking about, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I do think that work ethic is a big part of the reason you're here. Honestly.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
No, I'm serious, man. I always really noticed that about you. First of all, you were good. And secondly, you were really driven.
Oh, thanks. Because if I run out of money, I have to be sent home to Malaysia, you know. Though I don't have a backup plan, you know. Not saying Malaysia is bad, but I would like to, you know, continue doing what I love doing in this country. But the future holds. I'm moving to LA for work. I'm going to start splitting time there and here. I feel Americans work too hard. You know, I talked to, as a YouTuber I worked with recently, his name is Guga, he's a steak guy. Love his stuff, we worked together on a few videos. And he was like, oh, the last holiday, he's on holiday right now in Japan, I see his stories. But then he told me, yeah, I'm going to Japan, and the last holiday I took was 7 years ago. I had 4 days off. And I was like, nah, Americans work too hard. If there's a country that it's between like American work ethic and British work ethic, I think I'm there.
Yeah.
I think I'll be too lazy for Asia, but too hardworking for Britain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not saying a lot, though, is it?
That is weird. When you come back from America and you just look around, you go, nothing works here in comparison, and you can kind of see why.
Yeah.
Because no one really gives a shit.
Nothing works here, and they're proud that it doesn't work. That's what I like about Britain, really. Yeah, don't give a shit, mate. They like tradition. They like the old things, you know? Yeah. Just period houses. In America, you just bulldoze it down.
Build something.
I live in a nice period house, and it's actually it's impossible to live in one like that in Asia, because every 30 years, 40 years, they bulldoze everything down, especially in Japan. Their houses actually go down in value because they know after a certain number of years, they'll rip it all down and start afresh, which is pros and cons, right? But here you have these charming little things because people are too lazy to bulldoze it down and rebuild it. So that's how you get the period houses.
So. There we go. Well, Nigel, listen, it's great to see you crushing it.
Thank you.
It's great to see you pissing off all the right people. And I don't even know who that is.
Look, everybody's mad. Everybody's mad.
Anyone who wants to get pissed off on social media is the right person to piss off at this point. It's just all crazy. But it's great to see you doing well.
Thank you.
I'm sure the special is going to crush. Remind people where they can go and get that.
For the sixth time.
You can buy it today, right now, at moment.co/Mr. Nigel Ng. Link will be in description. This is the show that I've been touring with Uncle Roger for the last year and a half. You'll both see Uncle Roger does like 20 minutes, then I do about an hour. And it's a good show. I'm very, very proud of it. Please go buy it.
All right. And Nigel, we're going to go to questions from our supporters in a second that only they will get to see the answers to on Locals. But before we do that, we always end with the same question, which is, what's the one thing we're not talking about that we really should be?
Oh, boy. See, I was dreading this question.
It's a free hit, man.
Yeah. I want to plug the special again, but I feel a bit ashamed now.
Topics.
No.
Jesus.
I think we should all just go outside more and be near nature. and put down the phone. And oh God, what am I saying?
I was going to say, you live in central London, mate. What are you talking about?
Yeah, just that's why you got to start driving, because it's the only time you don't look at your phone, you know? I think everybody has to just go touch some leaves and stop being mad at me. You know, that's what we're not talking about.
That's the one thing.
People want to talk about me more, but in a nice way. Just leave some nice comments.
Do you reckon he's going to plug it again before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think so. we've just about to hit the hour mark. He's going to do it one more time.
All right, go and check his special out. Otherwise, he's never going to show up about it. We'll see you on Locals, guys.
That I can get behind, but it's rare to find.
So. Oh, fucking hell, enough. Absolute fucking disgrace. Before you go, consider joining our exclusive member feed. As a member, you'll get ad-free and extended interviews.
Click the membership link in the podcast description or find the exclusive episodes link on your podcast listening app to join us.